It's yet another episode of the First X Minutes podcast. I'm your host, Papi the Great. You'll find me on Twitter at Papi, P-A-P-I underscore the Great. Thank goodness we survived the International Week of Boredom. And of course, we're looking forward to football, club football action across Europe this weekend. It's a fantastic time to talk about what the Premier League, the Serie A, the La Liga, the French League on, the German Bundesliga, and every other thing that is catching our attention. It's called football. The later stages of the Asian AFC Champions League has been played. The teams are moving on from the quarterfinals to the semifinals, getting more interesting and exciting in that part of the world. For Europe, of course, it's about the top five, Europe's top five club football leagues. And of course, yay, Champions League and Europa League for those to whom it may concern. Let's quickly touch on the Premier League. News came out early this morning, or yesterday, I think, that Aymeric Laporte of France and Manchester City will be out till 2020. Wow. It's a major blow. Huge blow, considering the fact that he's been one of the most consistent features for Pep Guardiola in his side. And Rodri is becoming more stable now, but over the months, especially the one leading to the run-up to that Premier League title, especially after that loss to Newcastle, where they went on that amazing run. Aymeric Laporte was fantastic. He played so well. He brought balance to the side. You know, his balance mixed with Otamendi's imbalance, or mixed with John Stones' inconsistency, seems to level things up. And the fact that he can play out on the left, the left hand of the back four, or he can play in central defense, you know, that it being able to slot into different positions in the side, being able to drive the ball, his cool-headedness in the times when he's under pressure. I mean, he's a player that Pep Guardiola really, really relied on, has been relying on, must have been relying on this summer transfer window. Maybe that's the reason why he decided not to buy a central defender after the likes of Mangala went, and he let Fabian Delph go, and so on and so forth. Now, the question is, with such a key figure out for half of the season, is this the moment where we say, we look at the odds, we look at the numbers, we look at the situation of things, and we say to ourselves, maybe, no one knows when he's coming back in 2020. Might be January, might be in June, might be out of the season, might be coming back in March when things get really, really, really hectic for sites, especially in the Premier League. Is this the moment where we look at the options on ground, and we say, yes, I think this is the time that Liverpool can say Manchester City, the gaping hole in their defense has become even bigger? Because let's face reality, as much as good as Liverpool and Manchester City are going forward, they also have defensive issues. Yeah, Virgil van Dijk, best player in Europe, best centre-back. The argument in the Premier League for now, personally for me, he's the best centre-back in the Premier League for now. Best centre-back in the world. Best centre-back in Premier League history. Wow. Well, you know how I talk about football? We discuss football in eras. And this era is simply Virgil van Dijk's era. The conversation will get too long, too stressful, too mind-boggling when we start picking out players from individual eras and then replacing them with each other. Because it's a case of, okay, he says he's the undribbled one, went undribbled for a while. Would that have been the same if he had to play against Suarez? Would that have been the same if he had to play against Didier Drogba, the Wayne Rooney in his prime? Would he have been able to marshal those guys? Of course, we talk about John Terry, longevity comes into play. Can Van Dijk maintain the same level in the next 5, 6, 10 years the way the legends have done for themselves? Of course, company came out to say that Virgil van Dijk is the best Premier League defender in the Premier League. He's right for his testimonial. He's actually right. But then again, on the overall, looking at the Premier League history, We can easily say Virgil van Dijk is one of the best. It becomes tough when we are looking for the best defender of all time. Of course, there'll be so many factors, so many players. Tony Adams, I almost forgot. So Campbell from Arsenal, of course. We have candidates from Manchester United. We have candidates from Chelsea during Jose Mourinho's time. So it's going to be pretty difficult. Forgive me, I digressed a bit. Yeah, going back to the initial conversation, Virgil van Dijk brings stability to Liverpool's defense. But look at who is being paired with. Joel Matip. So we're relying, basically the team is relying on the individual brilliance of Van Dijk. Of course, we don't expect Alexander Trent-Arnold and Robertson to be available at the back line every now and then. They would have burst forward. So keeping the balance in the middle or the heart of the defense relies heavily on Virgil van Dijk with a bit of Joel Matip. For Pep Guardiola, the hole was gaping too. I mentioned earlier, Otamendi can be as rash as can be. John Stones is inconsistent, pretty much inconsistent of a defender. He makes mistakes every here, there, and everywhere. And sometimes his head is just out of the game. Forget the fact that he's a ball-playing defender. Sometimes his head is just not in the game. He tends to zone out every now and then. But Emerick Laporte brings the stability. Just like for Liverpool also, Kyle Walker or Zinchenko, or whether it's Benjamin Mendy, those fullbacks will bump forward or try to jump pack the midfield and join the other midfielders in ensuring that they can create extra space for the likes of Kevin De Bruyne to find that, you know, long curling ball that will discover Sterling or Aguero up front to convert into a goal. So now that mainstay for City is gone. Emerick Laporte, gone. That's the stable guy. It's just like saying Liverpool's Virgil van Dijk goes on a 3-month holiday to the physiotherapist because he has a knee injury. You look at Liverpool's chances, yet they will get the goals going forward. But what happens? Even with Virgil van Dijk, they still get to concede every now and then, not thanks to Alisson being out for a couple of weeks, which forces them to use Adrian, who made a couple of mistakes against Burnley and the likes. So for City now, the goals will come. They will bang in the goals. That's for sure. They have created the highest number of chances in the Premier League this season. The average is mind-boggling. I think there was one time I read before we went for international break. For every four attempts that they make on goal, one translates into a goal. That means Manchester City scores once for every four attempts that they make. It's mind-boggling. It's crazy. The numbers are just overwhelming. And it only with the game, a game against Norwich coming up, I think. I'm still feeling rusty from the international break. Whoever it is they're going to play, they're going to get their goals. Kevin De Bruyne is going to create those chances. Sterling will make those runs. He's coming back from that amazing game against Kosovo. And their spirits are going to be high. They're going to want to go in and just do better for themselves. Start the Champions League on a high. But then again, they are currently handicapped at the back by Emerick Laporte's injury. Yeah, Fernandinho has come out to say, even before the beginning of the season, he came out to say that, you know what, I will be playing in central defense. Pep has told me I'll be playing in central defense, more central defense this season than in the midfield. I mean, that's the reason why the Rodri bringing stability there. But how much pressure can a 30-something-year-old how much pressure can a 30-something, 33, 34-year-old defensive midfielder cope with while playing as a center back? That's the question. How much pressure can a 30-something-year-old defensive midfielder cope with or handle the pressure that comes with playing in center back? I mean, it's a dilemma for Pep. Of course, I know Pep, a good switch formation is not necessarily play 4-3-3 something. But then again, a key soldier is down. What will Pep Guardiola do? Does this hurt Manchester City's chances of doing something that virtually no team has done, win the Premier League 3 times in a row? You can leave me a comment, join the conversation, send me a message on Twitter at @Papi_TheGreat, and let me know your thoughts. Let me know, does Laporte's injury mean that the tables have now turned and the Reds are now favorites to win the Premier League? Send me a message on Twitter at @Papi_TheGreat. This has been episode 24 of the First X Minutes podcast. Thank you so much for your time. Again, before the month runs out, I will be featuring one or two more of my friends who will be talking, discussing football with, mostly the Champions League, and of course, maybe FIFA World Rankings. And hopefully by the time the FIFA World X is released, we will chip in our 2 cents on it and talk about who should have made it, who shouldn't have made it, the what should have been and what should not have been. Thank you so much for your time. Please tell your friends about this podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, of a one-man ranger who just goes on and on and on talking football. I'll see you in the other episode. Bye for now. Hey guys, welcome to episode 25 of the First X Minutes podcast. I'm your host. You'll find me on Twitter at @Papi_TheGreat. That's @Papi_TheGreat. Whew, there was no way I was going to let Saturday's event slip by without making a podcast where I would gist about it, I would talk about it, of course, I wonder about the madness called the game of football. So, of course, we expected that Liverpool were going to thrash Newcastle, even though they went a goal down early. Consider the first goal of the game, came back to win the game. Of course, there were so many things we expected. We expected that Udinese, Inter would of course get the best of Udinese. We expected that PSG was going to get the better of Strasbourg, although we're not sure how Neymar would perform. He eventually scored for the Paris faithfuls, and of course, so many expectations of Dortmund, Bayer Leverkusen. We're not sure exactly, but of course, we expected Borussia Dortmund, Leverkusen. We expected that Borussia would actually find a way past their rivals. Of course, Saturday, the big names had to play because of the Champions League that's coming up next week. Manchester United, Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool, Bayern Munich, Juventus, PSG, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Sevilla, the list goes on and on and on. All of them featured Saturday. That's the 14th, if I'm correct. Yes, 14th of September 2019. And I think that Saturday will go down as one of the most, or let me rephrase, one of the unforgettable days in club football. I don't think we're going to ever have another Saturday like that, because earlier I spoke about what we expected, but nobody expected that Spurs would score 4 past a side that are only conceded less than 5 in their first 4 games of the league. Crystal Palace went into that game with the best defense, well, hilariously so, in the league. And after 45 minutes, they are shipped in 4 from Heung-Min and Co. Nobody expected that it would take Inter Milan that long before they could break down a Udinese side that played with 10 men for so long in the game. No one expected that Ribery would get the better of Cristiano Ronaldo and Co. Well, I say get the better because we expected Juve will travel to Fiorentina, of course, try to pick up maximum points as they build up to their game against Atletico Madrid. Frustrated is the word. Had to make early substitutions because of injury troubles. And with Inter's win, Juve's draw, Conte's side have already jumped to the top of the table. Still early days, but then again, these points really matter. When you drop these key points, then in March, April, May, they begin to look so important, and players start asking themselves, why didn't we win this game? Speaking of Juventus' next opponent, I never expected that Real Sociedad would get the better of a side that featured João Felix and, of course, Diego Costa. I'm talking about Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid. They lost 2-0 to Real Sociedad. One of the most shocking results to come out of the Spanish La Liga yesterday. That's Saturday. Of course, we expected Thibaut Courtois to concede. It was just a classic case of how many goals was he going to concede? Would it be more than one? Would it be two? Would Real Madrid go on ahead to outscore their opponent, or will it be yet another loss for the Los Blancos? What else did I not expect? Going back to the Premier League, who would have thought that the back-to-back champions of the most watched football league in the world would struggle against a newly promoted side in Norwich City, conceded three goals. I really can't remember the last time Manchester City conceded three goals against an opponent in the Premier League. That was how terrible the citizens were. Of course, we want to quickly tie it back to the fact that Aymeric Laporte is out for 6 months. Nico Otamendi made some defensive errors and all of that. But let's be factual here. What happened on Saturday across board in Germany? I'm not even talking about Bayern Munich's 1-1 draw with RB Leipzig. In Germany, PSG failing to score more than once against Strasbourg in France. Of course, spoke about Atletico Madrid in Spain. Where are we going next? Italy, Spain, England, France, Germany. The five most popular football leagues in Europe had one upset or the other, and I really feel for punters who were trying to make some extra cash from their betting business, yesterday, because I look at all the teams that were involved in the drama: Manchester City, Juventus, Bayern Munich. You would have expected Atletico Madrid. I mean, they would have expected that the sides will have a breeze against their opponents. The reverse was the case on Saturday. Saturday was too crazy to be true. Saturday was too dramatic to be true. There was no way. It was the kind of Saturdays that bookmakers pray for all their lives. Like, wow, man, this day where everybody, the events turn out to be the opposite of what people predicted it to be, and or predicted it to turn out to be. And it's amazing, it's crazy. It's just a gentle, friendly reminder, well, gentle for those who didn't have their money on the line, that football is still pretty much a crazy sport. Yes, on paper, teams can be really excellent, teams can look solid, teams can look great, but it all goes down to what happens on the pitch for the 90 minutes, what plus some weird extra times if you consider the fact that VAR is being used in some games in the Premier League, the Serie A, and all of that. I even forgot to mention Chelsea's massive win over Wolves. Didn't see that coming. I didn't see Tammy Abraham's hat-trick of goals coming. Of course, you consider the fact that Chelsea, with that win, all they need to do is get the better of their UEFA Champions League opponents before Sunday's clash, major clash against the Reds. Of course, they will be at home. They have the home advantage of the Stamford Bridge, but they will be welcoming the Reds. They will be welcoming Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, and Co., who have yet to lose a game in the Premier League this season after five games. That is major. That is massive. Confidence boost is at a high level. They may be gunning. They look like favorites now, especially with City's loss for their first ever Premier League title since the league changed name in the early 90s. Yes. So while we're looking, keep one eye on the Champions League. Keep another eye on events after the Champions League. Sevilla will be taking on Real Madrid, if my memory serves me right. Chelsea will be taking on Liverpool. And I think there's a major clash somewhere in either Italy or France. Lyon will be welcoming Paris Saint-Germain in the French League on. Crazy games to come up next week, but of course, I won't get ahead of myself. This Saturday was not the kind of Saturday that everybody expected. This one was an unusual Saturday. It was crazy. It was fun for neutrals because they kept seeing the goals going, just as some of them were going in at the wrong end of the pitch. But isn't that why we love the sport called the game of soccer? What do you think about Saturday? Did you lose money? Did you place your bet on any of the sides and then they let you down? Are you still wondering what in God's name happened to the likes of City, likes of Atletico Madrid, the likes of Inter Milan, why they didn't get one more goal, or PSG. I mean, Juventus didn't even score against Fiorentina. So what do you think of all this event? Do you think that you've come to the conclusion that it was just one of those regular days, these teams will bounce back? Or do you think that we're yet to see a revolution of football where the small teams step up to the big guys and say, hey, you know what, you're not going to have your day today, we're going to step up to the plate with you, we're going to give you all it takes, and if we're lucky, of course, we're going to get either a point or three maximum points off of you. You can send me a message on Twitter at @papi_thegreat, that's PAPI_thegreat. This has been episode 25. Thank you so much for spending the last 10 minutes of your life listening to Young Boy in the City of Ibadan, Nigeria, talking, going on and on and on, talking football. I'll see you in episode 26. Bye for now.